Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Music's on the Menu, broadcasting live from UBC at the traditional and ancestral territory of the Tsleil-Waututh, Musqueam, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am your host, Alex Bird, and alongside me is, as always,
Hugh
Dana, the ever-reliable. So, Hugh, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm kind of in an NBA frenzy right now.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Not gonna lie. Not a lot of music on the mind.
Reliable, unlike Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I don't know. KD's reliable when he's there. I'd say it's maybe more Kyrie who's the unreliable one. But anyway.
Outside of the NBA.
Outside of the NBA being an absolute soap opera at all times.
The Grammys happened.
The Gramophone Awards. Also, before we get too deep into this, today's the last day of Fun Drive. We need a new transmitter, or at least we'd like one. So if you go to citr.ca/donate, if you have the means, any amount is hugely beneficial, as it helps keep the station running. It allows people, some geezers like Hugh and I, to have a platform every week, whether or not we deserve it. We deserve it. You know, we had to grind for this view. Anyway, Grammy Awards. So we're going to discuss the Grammys for a bit and then kind of just go from there.
Yeah. So Grammys happened on, I believe it was, what, February 5th. Today is February 9th, so last Sunday in Los Angeles.
Yep.
At the Staples Center, still the Staples Center.
At Crypto.com Arena.
And yeah, it was a pretty standard day out night in LA. No heist moment. nothing like that. Nothing ridiculous.
Yeah, no insane controversial things like that.
No.
Maybe history could look back on some in some way, but
the only head scratcher was the same Beyonce record winning in two categories, which I guess is fair because it is a mix of both, but
yeah, she was winning in like dance categories as well as in R&B categories.
Which is, I mean, I guess like it is the mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, and it was a fantastic record.
Yeah.
So that's not really that big of a head scratcher, to be honest. So maybe we'll start with Album of the Year, because Harry Styles was heckled by Beyonce fans prior to him saying that people like him don't usually get these awards. I believe he was just talking about his class. I don't think he's that insensitive.
No. Harry Styles was saying, like, in his acceptance speech of Album of the Year, that, you know, people like him don't always win these things. Something of that nature.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is like a weirdly tone-deaf thing for him to say, so I doubt it that.
I mean, it was his class, because I remember in his interview with Zane Lowe, which, shout out Zane Lowe, I love Beats One, he talks about kind of growing up and how he wasn't, like, swallowed by all of it because, like, he was grounded or something. But it was a little tone-deaf, and Beyonce fans were booing. Or not Beyonce fans, but people in there were booing. I guess I realized Beyonce has never won Album of the Year. Renaissance was dope.
Renaissance was great.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Harry's House won Album of the Year, especially over, like, for me, I wouldn't have awarded it to that.
Yeah, and you would have gone Kendrick?
I don't know if I would have gone Kendrick, but
I would have gone Bad Bunny, dude.
You would have gone Bad Bunny?
That
That's
album
fair.
Was just so big, bro.
Yeah. It was,
and it was, I mean, ridiculous. The fact that I enjoyed it as much as I did, and I don't even listen, I don't even understand it, I think only furthers its merits. I mean, it's just a fun record. Mm-hmm. It's really, The Summer Without You, man, it's really just good. Renaissance is dope, but I actually enjoyed Harry's House more than Renaissance.
Yeah, you're that type of guy, though.
Did you like Renaissance more than Harry's House?
Yeah, I like Renaissance more. Really? Harry's House is a really Harry's House is great. It's got a lot of strong tracks, especially at the beginning. But I feel like towards the end, it just kind of tails off. I don't know, the energy. I guess, well, it comes out with a lot of like bangers, or, you know, really pumping, poppy you know, jamming tracks, whatever. Late night talking, music for a sushi restaurant, as it was. And then it gets, and then it becomes a little more stripped back and a little more, you know, intimate, I guess. Definitely a good album, but I think Renaissance is just so well made, man.
Yeah.
It's so well put together.
I'm looking at, so here is the, here is the list of people who helped made Harry's House.
Yeah. It's
and
like, it's
here's
like two,
Renaissance.
Yeah.
Dude.
So Harry's House collaborators is like a 2-line list on the Wikipedia, and the Renaissance collaborators, it's like a 4 or 5 line list.
No, it's 12. But
12 lines.
I mean, you are mixing two genres, so you do just need more people, to be honest. Like Skrillex is listed in here.
Wow.
Because you kind of like you kind of need those guys to make those beats.
Mm-hmm.
I like the concept of Harry's House. And I and honestly, Beyoncé's Renaissance is, will probably be looked at as like revolutionary because it's like a great dance record.
Yeah.
It's like you mentioned it, maybe it was last week, how it's what honestly Nevermind wishes it was.
Mm-hmm.
I like the concept of Harry's House, where this is the music that he would play in his house.
Yeah.
Which is dope. And it's cool,
it's a nice
and
concept.
It's intimate, and it's poppy when it needs to be, and it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mr. Morale is... I'll let you speak on that.
You know, it's one of the best albums of the year, in my opinion. It's very good. It's very instrumental in Kendrick's personal narrative. It won the Best Rap Album Award, which is really all you could have hoped for. I think reasonably.
I mean, the
last time a rap album won Album of the Year at the Grammys was Speaker Box, The Love Below by Outkast. And
one and only, man.
Pretty hard to compete with Outkast. Or I guess, like, that's what it takes, maybe, is to be Outkast. But
I mean,
it's a really strong album, man. But I feel like all my praise for it is kind of built around, or... I don't know. How do I want to say this? I feel like all my praise for it is kind of just built around its how it fits into like Kendrick Lamar's personal narrative. So I feel like a lot I'd really have to get into it with is I couldn't put it in the same way as like Harry's House. Like I couldn't because like I don't really understand like Harry's like the what the constellation of his records represents or like his personal narrative really is. Through the music.
Really? I think you just I think that if you can understand the personal narrative and the constellation of Miss Morale, if you listen to anything deeply, you would get them because his is because that one is kind of tough to fully grasp, but you also do kind of understand like the whole story.
I already have a lot of context.
Yeah. But like the best part about Mr. Morale is the constellation, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of just like a neutral with Kendrick. Like when he drops, obviously I listen. But I'm not invested in his story, which is kind of probably why you like Mr. Morale so much, is because you are invested in it, and that's kind of what he's discussing.
Mm-hmm.
It's far and away better than all these other rap. Like, Come Home, The Kids Missed You somehow got a nomination.
We're talking about the rap category
now? I feel like usually Best Rap Album, the nominations are terrible. Like, God Did probably shouldn't be on there.
It's a pretty tough list of nominees here. Not having Jid.
The
rap album of the year is insane.
At least Future's on there, man.
Yeah, well, Future deserved to be on there. He had a good album.
Did you listen to It's Almost Dry?
I haven't, but I
didn't hear
much fanfare
about it.
But I don't feel like Pusha T never has like that much fanfare.
I feel like Daytona had a lot though.
Well, that was also I think because it was entirely produced by Kanye. So
true.
I think that's where the fanfare comes from. Is the Kanye fandom bleeding over. What I have heard on It's Almost Dry is good, and I know Pusha T's a very good rapper.
Yeah.
So, like...
His delivery is kind of insane, bro.
Yeah. If he won it, that would have been cool, but I think it went to the Best Rap Album of the Year.
Yeah. Pusha P nominated for Best Rap Song.
Yeah, it didn't win, though.
Pusha P, God Did Again, Churchill Downs, which is basically a Drake song, man.
Yeah.
The Hard Part 5 is crazy, though. Like, the...
We're in the rap category.
Yeah,
we've gone out. We're outside the general field now.
The best melodic rap, First Class is in there.
It's a melodic rap song.
No, I think the beat is melodic, but he's just like Big Energy live. I don't even know who this. Who's Lotto?
Wow, that's disrespectful.
Oh, Lotto. That's Moo Lotto. She changed her name.
Sure. Apparently.
Yeah, I thought that. Okay.
Shout to Future and Drake and Thames. Wait for you.
Yeah. No, Mulatto's got some crazy swag. She definitely brings the energy. That's why it's called Big Energy. Die Hard is dope, man. That's my favorite track off Mr. Morale.
Yeah, that was a nominee for Best Melodic Rap Performance. I thought it had a chance. Not surprised that Wait For You won it, though. Was listening to that this morning.
Is
was
that like, Future's first Grammy?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, you know? Because he's been around for so long. He has, yeah, that's his first Grammy.
Wow. Fair.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good song, man. It's a huge, actually a huge song. It's an awesome sample.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, sorry, that's his second Grammy.
Dirty Sprite 2?
No, no, no. He earned his first Grammy in a tie for Best Rap Performance at the 2019.
What song?
Sorry, I'm fill the air while I scroll quickly.
I'm looking at the best new artist category is always super confusing because Omar Apollo was on here and I feel like I've been listening to Omar Apollo for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, for King's Dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now that's a goated. That is a goated verse. La di da di da,
Slava Vina. Oh man, no. But the best new artist award was interesting because it went to a jazz musician, and there's someone who I follow on Instagram.
Samara Joy.
Yeah, there's someone who I follow on Instagram who's like at music school in New York right now and plays a bunch of jazz gigs and things like that around the city. And he was extremely excited when it went to a jazz artist. Get it, having you know, young jazz musicians get recognition on a stage like that is a big deal in a genre that for a long time now hasn't gotten a whole lot of mainstream recognition. John Batiste did win last year.
But that's a crazy record, man.
But you know, like from if you to use a Hugh Dana term. The masses.
Yeah.
It was still definitely a big deal for jazz music, though, in the 21st century.
I really want to know what the conditions are for Best New Artist.
Does it say on the Grammy website?
No. It just has the list of them. Oh. Samara Joy beat Anita, who's like actually like a pretty large Latin artist. Obviously, we know Omar Apollo. He's been around for a long time, dude. Mulatto's been around for a long time. I feel like Maneskin's been around for multiple years, or Maneskin.
Yeah, they were, but they didn't, like, blow up till when Begging took off, which was, like, last year.
Damn.
Still.
If I would have had to guess, I probably would have put money on Maneskin, to be honest, just because how big that track was.
Yeah, but also that track's kind of annoying, so.
Yeah, it's kind of abrasive music, but, I mean, maybe we'll quickly go over Record of the Year. Which was, I mean, I'll just quickly list. I mean, there was some dope-ass songs. As It was in there. The Heart Part 5, Bad Habits, Steve Lacy. Woman by Doja Cat. I don't actually know if I know that song.
Woman, let me be your woman.
Wow, shout out to that getting a nomination. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You and Me on the Rock by Brandly Carlile. Good Morning, Gorgeous by Mary J. Blige. Break My Soul, Easy on Me, Don't Shut Me Down by ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was won by Lizzo, About Damn Time.
Good song.
Yeah, super dope song, actually.
Yeah.
Deserved. I probably would have put money on As It Was, to be honest, though. Like, if I was, like, if I was a betting man.
Yeah, that song was huge this year. And also, with Harry winning, how often is it that someone wins, like, Record of the Year and Album of the Year? Because I feel like if you win one, it could be an indication that you're likely to win the other if the Academy already likes one of the things you did.
I know the last people who did it were Daft Punk, Random Access Memories, and Get Lucky.
All right, so it's been a while then.
Yeah, that was 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they're probably not the only people. I'm sure Michael Jackson or someone back then did it.
But Daft Punk was the most recent.
Mariah Carey. But I know that Daft Punk were the most recent. Should we play a song? Should we play About Damn Time then? Should we play the record of the year?
I guess we probably should. We probably should play the record of the year, but I mean, we still got some time here. How do you feel? Steve Lacy took home an award for Gemini Rights.
Honestly, dude.
That's kind of an album that you're really wishy-washy on.
Yeah. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, what is going on here? And then I had to, like, kind of, like, not... I didn't listen to it for a while, and I, like more Steve Lacy fanfare came up, and I kind of learned more about him, and I was like, okay, I need to go back and hear this. And it was better the second time, but I still didn't really enjoy it. Maybe because I love... Bad Habit is, like, I feel like Steve Lacy's strong song structure is often quite experimental, or he doesn't like to do, like, the common...
Yeah.
Just, like, verse, chorus, mm-hmm. bridge, chorus. Bad Habit is that.
Yeah.
And Bad Habit is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing else on the album like that. So my first listen through, I was like, oh, man, this is, like, an incoherent album. But as I listened to it again, I was like, oh, this is a very Steve Lacy album. And he's great, man. He produced Pride, man. That's, like, my favorite Kendrick song.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, from his brain.
Yeah. Also want to shout out Jack Antonoff for, what was it, like, best non-classical producer or something? Sorry.
What about Vancouver's own Michael Bublé?
Oh, Vancouver's own Michael Bublé took home a Grammy. Let's go. And what was like traditional pop?
Yeah, just like vocal.
Like vocal pop category. Shout out to Michael Bublé, noted Vancouverite. What was it? Traditional pop vocal album, Higher by Michael Bublé. So, putting on for the city.
Yeah, there we go.
Putting on for the country. There we go.
Interesting that they considered Un Verano Sin Ti musica urbana instead of Latin pop.
I think maybe because...
What do you consider him? Is he a rapper to you?
Is that what musica urbana is supposed to be?
Well, urban music.
Yeah.
He's Daddy Yankee, so I assume
Daddy
so.
Daddy Yankee. Yeah, I mean, he feels pretty musica urbana to me, just based on what that is. It's not...
It's not rap, but it's just, like, yeah, jivey and...
It's got that attitude.
Yeah. He blurs the line, which is why he's so dope. He's probably, like, one of my top five right now, honestly. And Un Verano Sin Ti was, like, probably my third or fourth favorite album of the year. Shout out, Honestly, Never Mind.
Big, yeah. I mean, that's your record.
Lil Uzi Vert was here?
Yeah, Lil Uzi Vert was performing.
Oh, Just Wanna Rock.
Yeah, they did like a 50 years of hip hop thing, and so they had a bunch of people perform.
Wow. Holy crap. Ice-T, Queen Latifah, Method Man, Big Boy, Nelly, Swiss Beatz, Lil Baby.
Yeah, Lil Baby.
Didn't even get nominated. I think that's an indictment of just how poor that record was.
Yeah, well, it didn't deserve to be nominated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, neither did. Like, there was obviously, like, Come Home, the Kids Miss You. It's a little weak.
Little weak, too.
But what other rap? I mean, like, that Migos record was better than that, than Come Home, the Kids Miss You.
Culture 3?
No. The one
only built for Infinity Links?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it wasn't great. That's just like one I think of off the top of my head.
I don't know if it was that good though. I don't have any opinions really.
Yeah.
On Infinity Links.
To be honest, I liked.
Oh, did you see, speaking of Quavo? Actually, did you see the whole thing of him and Offset getting into a fight backstage?
What?
Yeah.
Was this after he did the memoriam?
Before. Offset wanted to be out there. They did a memorial performance for Takeoff, formerly one of the three members of the Migos, along with Quavo and Offset. And Quavo did a song. Quavo released a song in early January as a tribute to Takeoff, who was his nephew.
Yeah,
Quavo and Offset are cousins, and. I guess he was going to perform that song. I assume it was that song. It was a memorial performance for Takeoff. And Offset wanted to be out there with him. And I don't think Quavo, and my understanding is Quavo didn't want him out there. And it was just a solo Quavo performance at the end of the day.
Wow. Does
Which is surprising.
Who has the power to do that? I guess, can Offset just show up if the Grammys were like, okay, this is a Quavo performance? Can he just go out there? I guess if he just has a mic.
I don't know how, like, what the backstage organization of these things is. I don't know how these decisions are made. I don't know why one, I don't know how in that moment you're still debating as to whether or not you bring out two or just one.
Was it, and it was a fight or just an argument?
I think, they were fighting. I don't believe, I don't know if there was anything physical, but it was definitely, if nothing else, it was verbal.
This is something that you actually brought up. Like,
will
Quavo and Offset mend?
Yeah, will they reconcile their relationship? Yeah. Because that's why Quavo and Takeoff made an album without Offset in the first place, is that they had beef. And I, you just kind of assume that family will stick together through something like that. But it seems that maybe the gap is still there, still persisting.
Yeah, shout out The Rock for presenting the best pop solo performance.
Just for being there?
Yeah, just because, like, he can just do whatever he wants, man. They performed, God did. Wow.
Yeah, they performed it.
So what did DJ Khaled do, bro?
Oh, I don't know. He just probably just sat up there. Well, they had, like,
God, dude, that's, like, all he says.
They had, like, a table set up, and Jay-Z was, like, sitting at the table. It was, like, a very lavishly set up table with champagne and
I need to go back food. And watch that.
They had a table. They were, like, sitting at a table, basically. I just saw a video. I just remember seeing a video of, like, Jay-Z sitting at the table, like, holding up a glass, cheersing a glass while doing his verse and stuff like that.
Yeah, that Jay-Z verse is wild.
I kind of doubt they did the whole thing. Yeah, it's 8 minutes. But they were definitely all there. They're probably all there.
Definitely. That Jay-Z verse is crazy.
Jay-Z's verse on God Did is crazy.
It's kind of the only good song on that record, I'm not going to lie.
I think every DJ Khaled album has one song that makes you go, whoa, this is pretty good. And then the rest is just random filler fodder.
Yeah,
and
random God, DJ Khaled stuff.
And God Did is that on the album God Did. Like, his last album, that the song with John Legend and Nipsey Hussle, won a Grammy. And so then that gets that goes in the category of the one DJ Khaled song that is worth existing.
What about that DJ Khaled Drake song, Staying Alive?
Oh, that song's so stupid.
That's not a good song, man.
That song's so stupid.
DJ Khaled always just, like, has the, like, he samples, like, he breaks all, like, the, all of the sample rules that, like, are like, the silently written that you're not supposed to break. Like, Homeboy sampled Miss Jackson.
God, DJ Khaled is just the gift that keeps on giving in this life. In this world of sin, we must look to people like DJ Khaled for guidance.
Dude, my favorite DJ Khaled thing ever is when he violates Bob Marley's guitar.
Yeah, that video just proves that he has absolutely no idea what he's doing musically.
Yeah, nothing. I don't think he's a music. I think he just gets them together, bro.
Yeah, that's all he does, is he just gets people together and they make something.
And he gets credited for every facet of the song, bro. He's like,
yeah,
he's on writers, he's on performed by, he's on produced by.
Mm-hmm. But is he doing any of
that?
I
would love to see if he was an engineer, bro.
He was an actual, like, radio DJ in Miami back in the day.
I thought it was New Orleans.
Could have been both.
It might have been New Orleans, then Miami.
Yeah, because I associate him with Florida. Pretty sure he's in Miami.
Yeah,
dude. Or at least was DJing in Miami for a time.
You're right, because he's in that Rick Ross video where he jumps off the bridge. He's the best, man.
Before he became the, whatever he is today. No one really knows. But, back in the day on Snapchat, he was undefeated, so we must give him credit for that.
I forgot about that. I used to watch his stuff every day. Just in his, like, Maybach with no roof.
Mm-hmm.
He'd sit there like he had a broken neck. He just, like, wouldn't move. And just... Anyways, should we conclude our Grammy conversation with playing the record of the year?
We should. About to play a hit. Oh no. Lord, forgive us for our sins.
All right. I think in context, this has to be played.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's record of the year.
Record of the year, man.
All right. This is the record of the year, the 2022 record of the year from Lizzo's, I want to say it's her third record, special, This Is About Damn Time. Is that bitch o'clock? Yeah, it's thick 30. I've been through a lot, but I'm still flirty. Is everybody back up in the building? It's been a minute, tell me how you're healing. Cause I'm about to get into my feelings. How you feeling? How you feel right now? Oh, I've been so down and under pressure. I'm way too fine to be distressed, yeah. Oh, I'm not the girl I was or used to be. Bitch, I might be better. Turn up the music, turn down the lights. I got a feeling I'm gonna be alright, okay. Alright, it's about damn time. Turn up the music, let's celebrate. I got a feeling I'm gonna be okay, okay. Alright, it's about damn time. In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up. Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciennes, trying to bring out the fabulous. Cause I give a fuck, way too much. I'ma need like two shots in my cup. Wanna get up, wanna get down. That's how I feel right now.
I would have to tell you. You have bewitched me, body and soul, and I love, and love, and love you.
Do you know who bewitches us? CITR Radio and Discorder Magazine, a place for our local community to share their love of art and culture, like Isia and I do on our show Fan Club.
This week, we are hosting our annual fund drive, a special time in the year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air.
This year, we are raising money for a new radio. Transmitter. If you're able to donate, we'd really appreciate your support. Please visit citr.ca/donate to contribute.
Thank you. We love you.
Hi, it's Nardwar. The Human Serviette from CITR Radio. Please donate to the fun drive! And keep on washing your hands in the free world and do, 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 donate!
And we back, and we back, and we back.
Welcome back.
Please donate.
Yeah. So, on February 2nd, Thursday, February 2nd, there wasn't really as far as I know, no large records dropped. We had a couple big artists who dropped. Morgan Wallen dropped, Dreamville, Ella May. We both liked that Ellie Goulding song.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, not enough content to really have a conversation on. So, for the rest of our show, let's build a playlist.
Alrighty then. Something that I struggle with.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because
I feel like you'd be really good at it, dude.
Well, because one, I don't like really listen to playlists. Like, I just kind of have my like songs and I throw them on shuffle, or I'm listening to one of the Spotify auto-generated playlists. And I think the hard part for me with them is that you can't put, like, playlists are best done when they just sort of grow organically over time and you just add stuff and add stuff. Like, you can't make it's hard for me to just put, like, 30 songs straight into a playlist.
Really?
And just pick them out, like, from the list of whatever. And so I just don't really ever do it because the barrier to entry feels kind of high to have, like, a proper comprehensive playlist.
Wow.
So
you put a lot of pressure on yourself, Matt.
Well, I'm just trying to articulate the way I kind of feel about it the best I can for the radio. I'm getting better about it, though. I've made some ones in the past, but, like, I don't even really listen to playlists.
Really, like, man?
That, at least ones that I make. I don't really listen to playlists that I make that often. So
I feel like that's Spotify's strongest function.
Forget about it. Well, every music listening platform allows you to make a playlist. Spotify's strongest function is that they're really good at making them for you.
Yeah.
And so I usually listen to that.
All right. Well, we're going to try to put together a 30-song playlist. I asked some buddies for some ideas, and they gave us for some. So we wanted to kind of – I'm going to give it spontaneous to Alex. We're going to just kind of pick a vibe or an idea. Maybe someone's like, make a playlist that you would listen to in Miami, or make a playlist that you'll listen to in Whistler, or if you're in, like, Paris in the middle of the night or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we were given – I'll let you pick. We were given Sunset on the Beach – or Night Drive.
This is a very... These playlist theme suggestions reveal a lot about where you're from.
Yeah. So maybe we should... I'll let you pick.
Sunset on the Beach or Late Night Drive.
Late Night
Drive can really be anything, though. It depends.
It's, like, raining.
It's raining?
Yeah. It's a Vancouver. Ooh. We'll make it Vancouver-y. It's a late night Vancouver drive.
All right.
The clouds are low.
Yeah.
The clouds are low. Downtown is misty.
Mm-hmm.
The Canucks just lost.
No, that's a celebration when the Canucks lose at this point, dog. Connor Bedard, please come home.
Oh, okay.
My man said Fantilli. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
All right. So I guess we'll just do night, because night's a bit easier probably for you, maybe, for this scenario.
I mean, I could do a beach thing.
Yeah? You pick, mate.
I like the scene we've set for this playlist.
Oh, man. All right. So we'll just rotate. We'll just switch songs.
You
want me to go first?
Yeah, why not?
All right. So if we're driving in Vancouver and it's raining and the Canucks just lost, The first song I'm going to play is going to be Nike's, bro.
Yeah.
Like, Nike's by Frank Ocean's going to be it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good somber track.
Yeah, it starts somber. It's got to be a little somber.
Yeah. Exactly. I guess my next suggestion comes from an album where I feel like pretty much every song fits this vibe. But, I'm going to say...
What record is this? I'm going to try to guess.
Oh, okay.
Is this an R&B singer?
No.
What is this?
Pop.
Is this Lord?
This is absolutely Lord. I'm just going to go with 400 Lux.
Okay.
Off Pure Heroin. A very kind of somber as well. Melancholic. Just kind of... Because that song also talks about, you know, driving, like driving with a person who you wish stayed. So, we'll toss in some 400 Lux.
I mean, I'm kind of torn here because I'm thinking about throwing in like Dear April by Frank Ocean, which is very somber.
Mm-hmm.
But like, at some point in our night drive, we know that our mood is gonna go up a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it can't all just be depression.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to throw in... Let's do Slow Dancing in the Dark by Joji. I feel like that's
You said the vibe has to be... You said the energy's got to pick up, the mood has to pick up, and then you suggest Slow Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah, dude, that beat is so good.
Wow. I mean, the beat is great. Okay. Oh, man.
I got a couple more.
You got a couple more. I'm gonna toss in. Kind of want to pick. Man, this is bad radio content.
Well,
I'm thinking about it too much.
Okay. Well, I think Passion Fruit has to be in there, bro.
Yeah, that can work.
I feel like you would listen to Passion Fruit
in that scenario.
Yeah, if you're just driving, man, and it's raining.
Passion Fruit miles away.
Yeah.
All right, I'll say 16 by Baby Keem.
Okay.
That'll pick things up a bit.
That's a good one, man.
That'll absolutely help to pick up the energy.
Yeah. We can continue on that train. I think that I would probably throw in Secrets by The Weeknd.
Okay.
Keep it a little more... Because, well, like, I mean, if we start, like, there's a couple routes we could go on this playlist because we could just go with, like, Hotline Bling and Redemption and White Ferrari and Somebody Else and Exchange by Bryson Tiller or, like, No Guy. Like, there's I feel like most, like, quote-unquote night drive songs are just, like, slow Drake songs or songs that sound like slow Drake songs.
All right.
Like Chicago Freestyle.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely makes a good vibe for that.
I'm going to throw Chicago Freestyle in there.
Okay.
Because I love that song.
I feel like anything can work.
Yeah, dude.
You Are My High, Major Lazer, and Future.
Wow. I haven't heard that song in so long. That's a good one, dude.
Yeah. That song has... Like, I kind of recently, I don't want to say discovered that song because I had heard sections of it, but, like, figured out what it was recently. Just kind of going through Major Lazer stuff and being like, oh, what the heck? He made a song with Future? Oh, it's this song.
It's a good song. Okay.
Yeah. It was a good song.
90210's got to be in
there. Oh. Yeah. I don't know where that song was in my head.
Dairy.
But that song's got to be in the mix. That is... 90210 is kind of like the definition of that sort of vibe.
Yeah, dude.
Just some late night chill, relaxed energy. It works for sure.
Do we like one that I kind of liked during that time is like White Iverson, Loki. I like the airiness of it.
I don't really like White Iverson.
Oh, it's not a very good song, but I like the airiness.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of, like, Astro Thunder.
Oh, Astro. Travis Scott is also perfect for this.
Yeah.
Astro Thunder fits very well. Yeah. Just feeling like the life you want, the life you need's a little distant, yeah.
Midnight City, dude.
Oof. Midnight, that will bring the energy up.
Yeah, that's a, dude.
That's a song we've already played on this show.
I know. Shout out Midnight City. Mm-hmm. LSD by Rocky's good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's a couple Coldplay songs that just kind of would murder this beat. Like The Scientist, bro. That's somber, though, man. That's a very somber song.
Yeah, that'll bring you right back down from the high of Midnight City.
I mean, one of my favorite things to do is listen to Let It Happen in the car, full blast.
Ooh. Tame Impala.
Yeah, dude.
Tame Impala. Let It Happen.
Swimming Pools is low-key good, too.
Swimming pools would be good, yeah. It's very nocturnal. Another dark song.
Yeah, Chanel, Frank Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Frank Ocean also just makes songs that...
Yeah, often.
...live to be...
Fine Line.
...put in this Fine Line.
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles action. Shout out Record of the Year.
Location, bruh.
I don't... The Khalid song?
No, Cardi.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather that than the Khalid song.
Yeah, no, the Khalid song's not going in there.
The Khalid song has a bunch of streams. I don't really understand why, to be honest.
Oh, it was huge. That was a good song.
Yeah.
When it came out, bro, that was a fun song.
It's just, it doesn't hit the same as, like, some of his other hits to me.
That's fair. What about, I would put Wasted Times by The Weeknd in there.
I'm not familiar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's maybe one of my favorite songs by him.
What album's that on?
My Dear Melancholy.
Ah, yeah, and that's... That makes sense. I haven't really heard it.
Love could work in there. Zachary.
Oh, Love. Kendrick Lamar. Sipping bubbly. Feeling lovely.
Do I Want to Know? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this playlist is getting Arctic fat Monkeys? Now.
Are you seeing the Arctic Monkey song?
Yeah, yeah, the Arctic Monkey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think there's got to be... In this playlist construction, something off 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah, I was thinking. I mean, the one that I kind of...
Streetlights?
Yeah.
Streetlights is like if you're going to cry in the car, in my opinion.
I mean, I would probably play... If I was going to pick a song from 808s and Heartbreaks, it would probably be Heartless for this, honestly. Even though this is 808s, bro, that's definitely my favorite Kanye record. I love this record.
Yeah, I understand why you say Heartless.
Or Coldest Winter, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think my vote, I don't know.
Streetlights is good.
Streetlights is really good, but it also might be too depressing.
Not true.
Okay. At least in my, I mean, it is a very sad song, in my opinion. Or at least it's a very... Longing. It's a very longing song.
I mean, that whole record, man. We probably shouldn't talk about Kanye West on the radio that much anymore, but that is such an influential and dope record, man.
Yeah, that album changed a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of
which makes his current state even more upsetting. But we've talked about Kanye.
Yeah, we briefly did. We've never, like, dove into it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I would play a couple songs off Honestly Nevermind, man.
Of course you would.
I would play Liability. I love Slowed and Reverb. I kind of, like, seek out Slowed and Reverb. So the fact that there's just, like, a Slowed and Reverb song on the track list, man, you know that that's going on. Solo by Future. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to... Anyways, we have 42 songs on here.
What? We named, well, I guess we were just kind of just sitting here and naming tracks.
Yeah, dude.
That's
how I was
get
adding
the 42 songs.
Should we play one? Do you want to play one of these songs?
Yeah, we should get into the.
What do you
want to
hear? Should we play 400 Lux since that was the first one you called out?
If you want to. I think 400 Lux is dope. What else is in there? What else is like viable to play?
Pretty much
anything.
We could play 16, we could play Secrets by The Weeknd. A lot of it is... Actually, maybe we should step back and not play something from this playlist because it is a nighttime playlist and it is lunchtime. So,
All right, Hugh, real quick.
Yes.
Make a lunchtime playlist.
Make a lunchtime playlist.
Yeah.
Music for a sushi restaurant. Thrown in there. I'll give you 5 lunchtime songs. Music for a sushi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Funny Thing by Thundercat. Bad Habit by Steve Lacy. Through the Night by Jack Harlow.
Okay.
And let me get some Drizzy in there. With You by Drake.
Okay. These songs make you think about lunch?
No, these are just like daytime songs.
Okay. Those are songs that make you think about the...
Eating.
You think about eating?
Yeah. Music for a sushi restaurant, man.
Yeah. Even though it has like nothing to do with sushi. Does it make you think about the Grand Noodle Emporium, these songs?
Hey.
The Nest Zone.
All right, so we'll play what should we play?
I don't know, might as well just play 400 Looks.
Or we could play, should we play Music for a Sushi Restaurant? That's maybe better for this time.
Yeah, that's an option.
Or would you rather show 400 Looks?
I feel like Music for a Sushi Restaurant's a little big.
Really? Okay, then we'll play 400 Lux. Yeah. All right.
I'd rather play something that's a little less...
All right.
I mean, I don't really know how well-known 400 Lux is as a song. I mean, the album was very popular when it came out.
And to be honest, I've only heard it once.
You've only heard it once, though, so hopefully that... I've just heard it a lot, so I have no conception of whether or not it's actually popular or not. But I feel like we shouldn't... We don't need to play, like, a Harry Styles song on this
show. Yeah. All right, so this is 400 Lux off of Pure Heroin by Lord.
Yeah, a little throwy back.
Where we can soar like The story of
CITR
is one of passion and innovation. It was founded in
1974
by avid young angler Johnny Morris on 8 square feet of space in the back of his father's liquor store in
Vancouver, BC.
Today,
CITR
is a recognized leader in
radio, media production, live events, and community building.
Each location celebrates local
radio
heritage and natural beauty in a truly immersive destination experience that offers everything you need to enjoy
the airwaves. Hey, this is DJ Autonomy from Copy Paste Radio. And unlike the big pro shops, CITR is a non-profit organization funded by listeners like you. This year, we're raising money for our annual fund drive to support our operations and bring independent and underrepresented voices to the airwaves. As you may know, CITR is more than just a radio station. We're also a magazine, a media production house, a podcast service, and we host live events throughout the Vancouver region. You may also know, running a professional-grade radio station is not cheap. That's why we're counting on your support to help fund our operations for another year. If you believe in CITR's mission, please consider donating. We've got a ton of great prizes at all donation levels. You can go to citr.ca/donate.
Hi, my name is P-Bone, and I'm the host of Canada Post Rock Radio on CITR. This week is Fun Drive at CITR, the one time each year where we ask you for your support to help keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is an amazing source of independent media and music. It's one of the best places to hear new underground music that you might not hear anywhere else in Vancouver. If you're in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate to donate. Thank you.
And we back. And we back. Please donate.
Final few minutes of the show this week.
Yep, last seven here.
Have a hot take for us, Alex.
You do?
Do you?
Oh, do I? Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious me. Hot takes are hard to come up with, man.
Hot takes that you, like, are actually behind are hard to come up with. Like, I could obviously...
Yeah, stuff I genuinely believe is hard to say.
You actually gave me a hot take the other day when I... You said that you think Kid Laroi sounds too much like Post Malone.
He sounds too much like Post Malone on his new song. I'm not saying in general he sounds like Post Malone, but just...
What song was that? Thousand Miles?
No, I think the one newer than Thousand Miles. Maybe it was Thousand Miles. Now I don't remember. No, it couldn't have been the newest one. It must have been Thousand Miles.
Wow.
Or was it Love Again? I don't remember.
No, Thousand Miles is the one where you said he said you said that you thought the U was too... Obviously Post Malone.
I don't remember what Kid Laroi's song it was, which kind of kills the take, but...
Yeah, it was Thousand Miles.
Okay, it was Thousand Miles, yeah.
Which I think is a dope track.
It is a good song, but he just sounds like... I don't feel like that's a flaming hot take, though.
I think it's...
You can just hear it in the way he stresses.
I don't think so.
Syllables.
I don't think so.
And his inflection. I think he just sounds a lot like Post Malone.
So where you were claiming that he sounded a lot like Post Malone was when he was hitting vibrato, and yes, that, I mean yes, Post Malone, he kind of brought vibrato into like hip hop pop or whatever that mixture is. People who can do pop and hip hop, which is Kid Laroi.
But it's not that he's doing a similar stuff. It's just that his voice, the sound of his voice itself, sounds like Post Malone's.
On,
which isn't necessarily
just
a
on
complaint.
A few, but you were telling me that it was just on a few words.
Yeah, a few words where he really sounded like Posty. Of course, the song is in a similar style. Every time I mention that, you say, "Oh, it's because Kid Laroi's working with the same people that Post Malone works with."
Yeah, you can only come up with so many things, right?
Yeah. But I just... It's not like it's necessarily a complaint, or I'm not saying he's ripping anything off. It's just when I listen to that song, it's sort of a hurdle. Maybe not a hurdle to true enjoyment, But it's just something that I keep thinking about. Is just he sounds like Post Malone on that song, and not like a mimicking the style way, but just literally his voice in certain sections sounds like that of Mr. Malone.
I think that's fair, man.
But I'm looking I don't feel like that's a hot take though.
Maybe not. That's
I'm not making like an assessment on anything. I'm just stating what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's just something that I was like, huh? I couldn't really agree with, which is kind of what we want for the hot takes, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Kid Laroi, like the last few months, I've really kind of gotten. I mean, his since he's kind of diverged away from just kind of like writing about heartbreak, and I mean, his first three records are all called F Love 1, 2, and 3, but since he's kind of moved into Post Malone's lane a little bit here. His last tape, every song has over 50 million streams, which is insane. That is crazy. Impressive. There's songs on here I've never even heard of that have 50 million.
Guess it's just the same 50 million people. Went through 50 million people, went through everything.
That's insane.
Well, no.
That's a crazy, yeah.
Definitely
that's,
doubling up and tripling up.
He has 42 monthly million. That's yeah, a lot, man.
That is a lot.
I mean, the last record, his last single was called Love Again. It came out 2 weeks ago. I wasn't thrilled with it. But I love Thousand Miles, and the intro track is okay. I'm actually pretty excited for his next record, assuming that, I mean, ever since Stay came out, and that kind of just, he kind of just, like, rocketed to major stardom. Now he's working with guys who are like, okay, man, we can't have another mixtape called F Love. Time to change it up. So I think that I'm excited for his next record.
Yeah, no reason not to be. He's like 18 still.
Yeah, that's crazy. I read that he still lives with his parents.
Good.
Which is dope.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Keeps you grounded.
Yeah, it keeps the bills down.
Yeah, also keeps you from probably, getting your head too big. Living with your parents. When you're that big of a star that young. Living at home keeps you grounded because, oh, you still got to take out the garbage.
Shout that out, man.
At least I assume so. Also, he's probably on the road so much that, like, maybe there's just no point in buying a house right now. Because often are you even home when you're living that life?
Who knows, man?
Who knows?
Any music that you're looking forward to tonight? Anything that you know of that's coming out tonight?
No, I do a bad job staying on top of this stuff.
I usually don't know until later in the day, to be honest. Like around 3 or 4. That's when I kind of like start seeing what people say or they're excited about. So unfortunately, I have nothing. NLE Choppa dropped a song last week. I totally forgot he existed.
Shot of Flow 75. There's like 5 versions of Shot of Flow. Legit.
No, I know. Shot of Flow 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 are...
6... That's too many.
The first one's pretty funny.
Yeah, the first one. Wait, was it Shot of Flow 2 he had Blueface?
Yes.
Okay. So he had 2 successful Shot of Flows. NLE Choppa is just a weird dude.
NLE Choppa is not relevant.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, there's no need to ever bring NLE Choppa up again. But I just think it's funny that I like totally forgot he even existed. 1 minute left.
Yep.
I'll just say that my favorite track from last week, which was kind of a slim pickings, was Last Night by Morgan Wallen. I'm not a country fan whatsoever, but that is a really good melody, man. Mm-hmm. And I really like songs with no drums.
I respect people who go for that.
Yeah, and this song has no drums, and it feels almost like a pop song written for someone else, and he just took it and made it a little country, and I really like it. And that's my favorite song of the last week. What about you?
There's some songs by Ray in here. I guess I'll pimp out Ice Cream Man. I think Ray's got a cool thing going. She had a Escapism, 07 O'Shake, which kind of blew her up. And